Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good morning, good day to you. Welcome to the weekend. 5 weeks. 5 weeks to the Masters. April 7th, Masters begins, and we're off on an amazing summer. 2016 fall of golf. The summer, the fall with the Ryder Cup, the Olympics. We've got two majors in 1 month, the Open and the PGA Championship in July. The Olympics, of course, follow Ryder Cup in September, the FedEx Cup. Well, my guest this morning, Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and commentator for NBC and Golf Channel. We'll talk to him right after. We thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, a store, or townhouse, customer single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing, 841-3287. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, host to the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. Kauai's South Shore Gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. Futura Stone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. Futura Stone. Only the best.
Do you have a child or know someone who does that wants to learn how to play golf? Free? At courses throughout the islands on March 19th, new and beginning juniors will receive expert instruction at no charge. Hawaii Junior Golf Day is brought to you by the Aloha Section PGA and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. To sign up, go to hsjga.org or call 532-0559.
That's going to be so much fun. So much fun coming up. We've got a beautiful day in Hawaii. High surf advisory is still up for the north and west facing shores. Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and of course, north facing shores of Maui. While we had an epic eddy at Waimea Bay and an epic story from Mark Rolfing, cancer survivor, golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and a proponent of golf in Hawaii at the highest level. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle, and I must admit, I'm pretty honored. I've never been mentioned in the same breath as Eddie Aikau, so that's a new one for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I just got to ask you, I think I know, but a lot of people still ask me, how's Mark Rolfing? The last test was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, you saw me make my comeback on Golf Channel and NBC at Kapalua, which has been almost 2 months now. It's been about 7 weeks. And I was feeling really good then, but I feel twice as good now. I've got pretty much all of my energy back. The only thing that I'm really not doing is hitting any full golf shots yet because I'm still healing in the surgery area, which is in my left neck and left shoulder area. So that's kind of problematic when you crash the club into the ground with a real steep angle of attack like I have. I'm still not playing a whole lot of golf, but otherwise I am good to go and headed to Miami tomorrow for a Doral next week and run all the way to the Masters.
I was thinking, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's only 5 weeks till April 7th. This year is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, this is. I truly believe this is going to be one of the great years in golf just because of what you were talking about earlier, and that is this schedule. You've got all these epic events. And they're all crammed into a very short period of time. So the guys are going to be playing a lot of golf. There's going to be a lot of attention and focus on them. And interestingly enough, all the players that we had expected to come out and really play well at the beginning of the year haven't necessarily done that. Jordan Spieth did, obviously, at Kapalua. But you take a look at what McIlroy has done now the last couple outings, and even Spieth himself hasn't played great. And all of a sudden, the Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth big three isn't quite as big as we were thinking, maybe.
Yeah, and the added afterwards, the Johnny come lately, and and Ricky Fowler, and here he is, right? 266 is no bogey on this really hard PGA National.
Yeah, he is really starting to find his game. And I'm going to put Bubba Watson in that category, too. Those were the two players I thought, you know, early in the year might be able to crack the top three by the end of the year. I'm thinking, you know, one of those two guys, and it could be Ricky here in the next couple weeks, are going to crack it before we even get to the Masters. You know, I think it's getting harder and harder, Danielle, for players to separate themselves. Like the big three of Palmer, Nicklaus, and Player did. I don't see that happening again, and there's just so much young talent out there now.
Do you think in part, not only are they hugely talented and they work very hard at their game, but they have outside responsibilities that take them into places that we don't ever hear, you know about them, but the average person doesn't hear about the photo shoots, the meet and greets with the sponsors, all the responsibilities they have earning millions of dollars from the sponsors?
Yeah, you know, there's a responsibility, I suppose, that goes along with making a lot of money. And, you know, when you sign contracts with sponsors, to pay you a lot of money. And Michelle Wee will be the first person that will tell you this. I thought the responsibility she took on when she took $5 million from Sony and took $5 million from Nike early on in her career put a lot of weight on her shoulders. And it does the same thing. It causes you to travel to places, particularly since all the growth in golf is international. It's forcing the players to go abroad, just like we saw Jordan Spieth go to Singapore a month ago. That didn't work out very well. I think he learned a lesson there. There's a question of how much money do you need, I think, in the end. What you need to do is play your best golf. Then you'll make a lot of money.
And I've heard so many voices in the past 2 weeks say, you know, Tiger Woods really was amazing. And we're possibly not going to see someone of that caliber who plays with that consistency that we saw for 10 years, that we were spoiled by what he did.
I think we were. I don't think anybody will ever play at that level again. And when you hear Phil Mickelson, a guy like him, say it, which he did yesterday, you know, the Tiger plays the greatest golf by far that anybody has ever seen. Then you really know that it's probably true. I just think there's so much more that goes into a golf tournament week now for a player like Tiger Woods. It's like playing five tournaments. It's like playing a major every week just because of all these things that they have to do that you're talking about. And that's why I think, you know, careers are going to be shorter as we go along and go deeper into time. And I also think that players are going to be more volatile. They will have good stretches and they'll have some bad stretches.
Interesting. We're talking about Jack Nicklaus and Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods all getting together toward the Ryder Cup, having this huge dinner. Just another one of the things that these guys have to draw themselves away from and focus on the team effort that's coming up that we're going to be playing at Hazeltine.
Yeah, the Ryder Cup of all the events that we've been talking about, and I heard you mention the Olympics, I heard you mention the FedEx Cup, two majors in the same month. There's a lot of great events this year, but the Ryder Cup will be the biggest. I think it'll garner the most attention. It was interesting, I heard a little bit about what happened that night at Jack's house, and one of the messages that he was giving to everybody is take care of your body and take care of yourself and pace yourself this year. And when you think about it, Jack Nicklaus played in 39 straight Masters, Danielle. He never missed one for 39 years. And that's because he was more of a pacer of his body. He didn't go into the gym. He didn't lift weights. He didn't do all that stuff. But he also never got hurt. And I think one of the concerns that he has, as do I, is with this really intense schedule, players are going to be burned out both mentally and physically come Ryder Cup in October.
I heard one fitness guru on Golf Channel Morning Drive talk about what we don't hear about and what is most important in the fitness aspect of the game is the recovery. These guys are using hyperbaric chambers. You know, they're doing all kinds of things to oxygenate their blood after doing these workouts, that there's this recovery aspect to the game. And I've never heard about that.
Well, I've heard bits and pieces of that. I must admit, I'm not a student when it comes to this. But all I can tell you is, why would you put yourself through something then you had to artificially try and recover your body. To me, that automatically indicates you've done something too much. And it's, you know, it's because this game has become such a power game, Danielle. You can't go out there and bump the ball around the course anymore, and you can't play golf the way, you know, Corey Pavin played it. He was a wonderful player in his time, but you can't play golf that way anymore, and that's why these players are forced to get more physically fit and stronger and be able to stretch more and leaner, and the faster they attempt to do it, the harder the recovery is going to be after those workouts.
Yeah, and when you say they have to play this stronger game, why is that?
It's because of the ballparks are getting so big. If you think about it, baseball went through this very same thing when everybody started popping steroids so they could hit home runs. That's what the fans wanted to see, and that's what, you know, was exciting in the size ballparks that were created. And in the game of golf, in baseball, you can't really move the outfield fences very much. It's hard to do once the ballpark gets built. But in golf, you can move the fences out, and they just keep doing it. And they keep making these courses longer and longer and longer, and therefore the players have to start hitting the ball further and further. And I think the courses and the architects are to blame, the developers are to blame, the PGA Tour is to blame. I think all the organizations are to blame for causing the nature of the game to change, which forces the players at the top to play it differently, and that is with total power now.
Yeah, instead of, well, PGA National is kind of forcing them to think more, right? It's kind of a different course than your power course.
It's an anomaly. I like it in a lot of ways. I kind of think it's a little too much during that bear trap. But other than that, yes, a few weeks a year at least, or half the time, we should be playing more of a precision game of golf. We just don't have that much anymore. If you take a look at statistics, driving distance is by far, when it comes to driving, the most important stat for players. The top money winners, top FedEx leaders are always the leaders in driving distance. No longer are they anywhere near the best, the most accurate drivers. In most cases, you won't even find the top 10 players in the top 100 of driving accuracy. You can't play the game that way anymore. You have to hit it as far as you can.
Just bomb and run. Oh, it's sad in a way, because golf has always been a little bit about strategy. At least that was sort of the appeal of the game.
It was, but you know what's changed it more than anything, I think, Danielle, is the equipment. People talk about big-headed drivers and all the innovations in golf that have really changed things. But to me, the sand wedge, probably this, and the 64-degree wedge now, has changed the game more than anything, because the players are so good when they miss these greens, around the greens, and they can play out of the rough, that it doesn't matter anymore if you're trying to reach all the par fives in two and you just miss the green. You're still going to make birdies. In the old days, it was better off to lay up and leave yourself a 100-yard wedge shot than it was to be up in the rough by the green. That's not the case anymore.
You're absolutely right. We saw that at Doral, too, in part. And watching Phil Mickelson play, he was so on and just a little bit off, and the putts wouldn't drop. But it's great seeing a guy, and it's weird saying he's in his 40s. I just don't think of Phil Mickelson being an old golfer. But it's wonderful seeing him play the way he is. And I want to transition into Tiger Woods releasing that video. For a lot of people who work 9 to 5 and have families, they're not able to keep up with all of the things. But if you didn't know, Tiger, in response to somebody saying he's probably not going to come back in 2016, he's not able to even sit or walk, or he's in terrible pain, he releases a video of his swing in the simulator, which, of course, is immediately torn apart by different individuals as being an old man, obviously in recovery. What did you think?
Well, I think it was a little bit of an act of desperation in my mind, because I don't think Tiger owes it to anybody to show them whether he's ready or not. Here's what worries me about Tiger. What worries me about Tiger is the difference in quality of the major championship venues this year than last year. So, for example, last year, the U.S. Open, which is just about when Tiger may be ready to play, I think. That'll be in June. The U.S. Open last year was at Chambers Bay, where the rough was an inch high at the most, and you could hit it anywhere and really not put any big pressure on your back trying to play out of the rough. The U.S. Open this year is at Oakmont. This will be some of the worst rough the players see all year long. And Oakmont traditionally is one of the hardest U.S. Open venues. That one, just by the nature of the course, is going to be very difficult for Tiger to play. And, you know, if he was even marginally ready to go, he could probably get it around Chambers Bay, but he certainly wouldn't be able to do that at Oakmont.
So you think you should wait till July for the Open?
Maybe. That might be a pretty good place for him to start.
The Royal Troon, what's that course like?
You know, it's the par, Danielle, ought to be 32-40 for 72, because the course goes straight out, downwind, and it comes straight back into the wind. Just a very typical Scottish length. And so you kind of see all these really low scores starting out. And then by the end of the day, players are just hanging on, trying to come back. But it's not a particularly long course. It does have quite a bit of a precision element to it. And I think that style of golf actually would be a good style for Tiger, you know, to start with maybe. And he's not going to play in the Olympics. So if he sort of paced himself, and he's probably not going to play in the FedEx Cup. So if you think about that, and his goal really is to play on a Ryder Cup team, let's say, and play a couple of majors, then I would say if I were him, I would skip the Masters and probably skip the U.S. Open and really be ready to go by midsummer.
Yeah, I want him to take as much time as it takes for that body to heal as much as it possibly can, because there will always be a weakness. Surgery just creates a weakness that you just have to baby it.
And I think this is his last chance, Danielle. I really do. I don't think there'll be any more, we'll give it another year next year if he comes back too soon. I think if he comes back too soon on this one, it would be the end of his career.
I couldn't agree with you more. I would like to take a quick break and come back and talk to you about something that's near and dear to us. And I remember when we were talking about, it was before you went in for the radiation treatment for the cancer, and you said that one thing that has changed in your life is your willingness to speak your mind about things and not, you know, prevaricate, just to come out and talk. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
Okay, we're gonna talk about the Alawai right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Do you have a child or know someone who does that wants to learn how to play golf? Free? At courses throughout the islands on March 19th, new and beginning juniors will receive expert instruction at no charge. Hawaii Junior Golf Day is brought to you by the Aloha Section PGA and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. To sign up, go to hsjga.org or call 532-0559.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow, 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're talking with Mark Rolfing. You probably know him more for being golf commentator on NBC and, of course, Golf Channel. He is a original member of the Hawaii Tourism Authority. Mark Rolfing, original member of the Hawaii Tourism Authority. He's been a proponent of golf in Hawaii at the highest level, lobbying for the Tournament of Champions at Kapalua, for instance. That's where it all started. Getting PGA Tour events here, LPGA Tour events, of course, Champions Tour events to be played in Hawaii. And we had the Grand Slam of Golf. At one point, Mark, didn't we have 7 or 8 of these events going on annually every year they'd come back?
I think in our peak, Danielle, we had 9, actually. And I believe there was a year where there were portions of at least 12 tournaments that were televised out here. There was a couple of one team event and one amateur event. So, yes, we used to have a lot. That was back more in the early decade of the 2000s. But it was a thriving place when it came to promoting Hawaii with televised golf.
So now we see we're down to, of course, the Sony Open. The Hyundai Tournament of Champions is now the SBS Championship, still at Kapalua, at least until 2018, I think, is the commitment to stay at Kapalua. And then everything kind of gets fuzzy in that world. We have Lotte of the LPGA coming in April. We have the Champions Tour, the Mitsubishi Electric, over at Hualalai. Am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything, and I'm really worried about Lotte. They have no more length on their contract after this coming April and are seriously looking at going to the mainland. One of the problems is that when we had 9 tournaments, there was a full set of television equipment out here year-round to televise golf, which is very complicated, as you know, and we've talked about this before. But as we have lost all of our tournaments, we've also lost this big television equipment package, which has gone back to the mainland. It only comes in January now, and therefore, when you have a tournament in April, like Lotte, you don't have the proper equipment, and therefore, they have to have a smaller production, a smaller set of equipment, and the LPGA doesn't deserve that, and neither does the sponsor. So, you know, it's sort of a domino kind of thing, and I am really worried about Lotte and trying to figure out what the future of that thing should be. But more importantly, you know, we haven't really stepped back and looked at this thing from a 50,000-foot view and become proactive in trying to create a good, solid future for professional golf out here. We just keep reacting to problems.
And there's the Sports Advisory Committee that you're on that committee, are you not?
I'm actually the chairman of the committee, and I put it together, and I think this committee has done a lot of really good work. There's a bill going through the legislature right now to form a sports authority that would actually be an organization like every other major town in America has. We're the only one that doesn't. I don't know that bill will pass, but if nothing else, it certainly created a lot of awareness, and I think people, the public and also the legislators are way more aware of what our problems are in the future of sports here now than they were a year ago.
And, you know, we've always talked about Hawaii being the perfect climate for training camps all year long, whether it's soccer or baseball, whatever it is, it's the perfect destination, the perfect place where these teams can practice all the time. Nothing ever came of that years and years ago. Now, what do you see on the Mauka side of Waikiki, on the Mauka side of the Alawai? It's kind of an underutilized piece of property in your mind?
Well, yeah, and I actually have spent most of the past 2 weeks on Oahu, Danielle, and spent a lot of time out at Alawai. And I'm not just focusing on the Alawai. I'm looking really at all of our areas that need to be addressed. We've got issues at Aloha Stadium that need to be addressed. We've got issues at Blaisdell. That facility is over 50 years old, in desperate need of repair. We've got the whole Alawai site and really what is the best thing for Alawai going down the line. But you've got the zoo and the Waikiki Shell area and just it needs to be looked at from a big picture standpoint, you know, the entire island and all of our islands. And the real problem that I see is we don't have anybody doing that because we don't have an organization. That's not the mission of the Hawaii Tourism Authority. That's not what they are supposed to do. It's not the mission of the Stadium Authority. That's not what they're supposed to do. So who is it? We just don't have the structure, and we have to create some kind of a structure.
All right. For the Alawai, and of course there's pushback from a lot of people who have been going to the Alawai golf course for decades, their entire lives, making an 18-hole course there, a flat course, that hasn't really been worked on at all in a long time, and I think the people who go there would prefer it just be left alone. What do you see for that property?
Well, first of all, I love the Alawai. It's almost a sacred place in Hawaiian golf history. And the last thing I would ever want to do is anything that would take away from what really is a treasure. So that's number one. I love the place. It's a huge piece of property, Danielle. It is gigantic. It's one of the biggest I have seen for the actual size of the golf holes and golf course. And I think there are a lot of spaces at Alawai that are underutilized. Now, having said that, the real issue at Alawai is the driving range is closed right now and has been for some time. And it is being renovated because there were some drainage issues with the canal. And when that range reopens, which is going to be sometime later this year, there will have to be a concessionaire that comes in there and responds to an RFP and actually runs the driving range at Alawai. We don't know who that is going to be yet. The RFP hasn't even been issued. But because of that, somebody is going to have to spend some money there and work on the hitting areas and work on the building that is there that's going to have to get cleaned up and ready to go. And there are parking lot issues at the entry. And so all I want to do is, instead of making decisions on a case-by-case basis, just step back and say, what is the best thing for this long-term, and how can we make this experience better and utilize the clubhouse more, let's say, particularly the upper area? What could really this place be? Could it be the home of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association now? You know, now that Mary B. is kind of stepping back a little bit and we don't have, you know, a real home on Oahu. I think all these type of things are possible. It's just a question of who is really going to focus on it. And I'm happy to say that the two people that are in charge there now, Guy Kalakukini, who's the head of revenue services for all the Oahu golf courses the city owns, and then Gary Kiwamuro, I've spent a lot of time with those two in the last, I would say, 2 weeks. They are very open to ideas. I think that they're big thinkers. And even though, you know, there's still a lot of people playing at Alawai, I think it needs a new jolt of what are we really going to do here and how do we make this place better? Because people don't have as much time to play golf as they used to. And we've got to do something about that.
Do you think I heard something about 9 holes instead of 18 and maybe a sports complex as a bigger center?
Here's the thing. I don't think the number of golf holes on a course are really that important anymore. I don't know if you saw, there was a big announcement last week that Luke Donald is building a 12-hole course in Chicago.
Yes.
Alistair McKenzie was one of the most brilliant architects ever, and when he originally designed Sharp Park in San Francisco, he did it in 3-hole loops so that you could play 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, or 18 holes, depending on how much time you had. Whether it's 9 holes or 18 holes, I would love to keep 18 holes at Alawai. I think there's a way to do it, but give people the option of going out there at lunch and playing golf for an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
Or give tourists an option of playing 2.5 hours of lunch of golf, you know, before they go to the luau in the afternoon. It's fairly confined into what you can actually do there now. Now you tee off and you either play 9 holes or a full 18 holes. I think we need some options.
Yeah, I like it. I was talking to Craig Sasada at Poi Poupe. I always bring Craig up because he's an innovative thinker, and he said the way Poi Poupe was built is he can do what he's got the back nine that they drive you out to, but he's also got the seven-hole stretch because the seventh takes you back to the clubhouse. So because of the way Poi Poupe was built and is designed, there are different things he can do, but a lot of courses don't have those options. I think what you're talking about is perfect.
I totally agree. Craig's a great thinker, and he's got exactly the right thought process going on over at Poi Poupe. You know, and they will let you do some very interesting things there. It's almost never a no at Poi Poupe, because I've been through it. I've shot a number of Golf Hawaii shows out there, and I've seen how people, you know, can actually go play the best holes if that's what they want to do. The real issue, Danielle, is that we need to change people's thought process when it comes to maintenance. And we don't, a player that's a 20 handicap player does not have to play on a green that was mowed an hour before he plays it, I don't believe. A 20 handicapper does not have to have had that fairway cut on the morning that he plays it. If that's the maintenance procedure that has to occur in all these courses, whether it's Alawai or anywhere else, you are going to confine the way people can play the routing of the golf course. But if you mow the fairways the afternoon before late, let's say, or you don't necessarily mow the greens in order in the morning, you're going to have a lot more flexibility to almost create what could be little mini shotgun starts-like things to send people out to be playing golf. But right now, it gets confined because of maintenance procedures. And I'm not talking just at Alloway, everywhere.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you if there's anywhere somebody can send, you know, comments or say, hey, we like this.
Well, you know, I heard them all when I went out there the other day, from the ladies group to there were a lot of people. The story that had been written in the Star Advertiser where it said Rolfing says nine holes at Alawai are better than none. I still believe that. I would hate to see nothing there. I don't think that will ever happen, but I am not necessarily saying that it ought to be nine holes. I would love to hear suggestions, and frankly, if people want to send them to me, they are welcome to do it. Send it to Mark at golfhawaii.com, and you will get a response, because I want to hear what people think. I don't have the answer yet, but I am very interested in looking at that whole Alawai situation and trying to figure out, is there a way for me to help?
Excellent. Mark Rolfing, one quick question. Is Donald Trump going to be at the World Golf Championship Cadillac?
He is. You know, it's interesting. I've been sort of, I don't know, of all the things I worried about most in my comeback to the broadcast booth, that is one of them, because I always do the Donald Trump interview at Doral. I actually did it last year with Arnold Palmer and Donald Trump together, and it was easy. It was kind of magical. It didn't have anything to do with politics or anything else. It had to do with they were opening up an Arnold Palmer villa as part of Trump's renovation there. The whole thing is going to change now. Trump is campaigning. It's Super Tuesday, obviously, so he's not going to be at Doral on Tuesday, but he is coming Thursday. And it's kind of like worrying about the 17th hole at the stadium course at Sawgrass when you're still on the first hole. I'm already worried about the Trump interview next Thursday. Now, knowing NBC, they'll probably bring in, I don't know, you know, somebody from NBC News, and you won't see Mark Rolfing interviewing Trump. I kind of hope that's the case.
I was thinking that. Yeah, let the news department take care of it. Just be sports.
I like my job too much. Now that I've beat cancer, I don't want to end my career in an interview with Donald Trump.
Mark Rolfing, it's always wonderful talking with you. Golf analyst, golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Thanks so much for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with Claude Brousseau. Last Saturday, he was awarded Teacher of the Year, Aloha Section PGA, and he's Golf Channel lead instructor here, Hawaii, every state has one. Sometimes the some areas have more than one because the population warrants it. We'll be back with Claude Brousseau right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone. 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone. Only the best.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
So the Master PGA Professional Golf Channel lead professional. I'm not sure. I always get kind of confused when I say that. Claude Brousseau, welcome to the show.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me sit at your table on Saturday. It was absolutely wonderful watching you get your award and all of the attendees. I mean, we had First Tee, we had the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the kids got their awards there. It was, and then the Hall of Famers got, you know, were inducted into the Hawaii Hall of Fame. It was just wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful evening. And your beautiful wife, Anne Marie, such a pleasure to meet you two together and to relax. But I wanted to ask you, out of all the stuff that was going on that night, what stood out for you watching the evening of winners?
That's a great question, Danielle. What really stood out is how when people come together for a common cause, that is making golf available for people, that's fantastic. The other thing is how fantastic it is when you see the young lady and boys going up front and delivering a speech like professional. That's golf, help people, of course, to have more fun playing the game. But I think what happened is that we help human beings become the best they can be. They have challenge. I mean, I was so impressed by all the young people who went in front and deliberate their speech like unbelievable. That's one skill people can learn in golf, how to build their confidence. So that's, I would say, that's the highlight.
Yeah,
two things. Working together, we can achieve a lot of good stuff. And then see the result of those efforts put in place every day by all of the intervenants in the golf industry. Could be people mowing the grass, people taking the registration. It's what I came out of that evening with.
Yes, that we're all together in this, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master Professional, both here in the United States and in France. He's the spokesman for Swing Beep, which I got to see at the table, Director of Instruction, Coaching, and Player Development at Ko'olina Golf Club. So I was wondering, Claude, I know you always have teaching opportunities, whether it's groups or, you know, lessons that playing lessons, for instance, always appeals to me, going out on the golf course with the teacher and being able to actually see what happens on an uneven lie, for instance. Anything special going on?
Yes, absolutely. Our goal at Colina is we are dedicated to your improvement and enjoyment of the game. And to do that, we have what I call different programs that address every type of golfer, from pure beginner to elite players. And I like to, you know me by now, I like to have fun with this thing. Is I always said to people, we all started beginners, even the top players in the world. So we have for beginners, we're one of the best in the country, in fact, at Colina Golf Academy with Get Golf Ready. Get Golf Ready is the best way to start. We have for 5 hours of lesson for $109. And then we have like a value, add-on value of certificate and all that for over $300. So it's fantastic. So we have Get Golf Ready, one, and then because we want to follow you and help you to realize your full potential, we have Get Golf Ready, two, and then I just created this year what we call Advanced Get Golf Ready. And the curriculum with Advanced Golf Ready is exactly what you said, is after you kind of integrate and start to master some skills in golf, because golf is a motor skill, not an intellectual skill, then we need to go on the golf course and apply it. So on the lie, decision-making, how we react after the shot, all that. So we have that. But then, because of the time issue, like Mark was referring to just before me, we have every month we have a program. One of them is 2 hours power driving. Everybody wants to hit the ball further. So this is the perfect setting. It's 2 hours for $99, so that's very affordable.
Yes.
And you do power driving. I get another one, it's called Bye-Bye Three Putts. Is there a worse feeling than making three putts? Everybody hates it, don't you think?
Yes.
Exactly. So this program is just about putting. 2 hours for putting. Again, it's $99 for 2 hours. Then we realize that people have issue with bunkers. Often, I mean, the pro, or you hear it on TV all the time, they say, it's the easiest shot in golf. For the, what I will call avid golfer or recreational golfer, it's the worst shot. So we have that clinic, it's 1 hour. I call that master the bunker in 1 hour. And I got a very interesting way to introduce the concept of the bounce. I start, in fact, just give you a little teasing here, but it's very effective. I start with a little pint of sand outside of the bunker. And then the idea is just the bunker, the sand is your friend. You got two friends in the bunker, the bounce of the club in the sand. So I had people just throw, making that little pint of sand disappear. In fact, I didn't know, but when I'm in Europe doing bunker play, somebody told me that C.D. Ballesteros, one of the genius, most, you know,
yes,
impossible shots, he will pull it off. But he was practicing before the French Open. His tee time is in 20 minutes. And he was doing a little mound of sand in the bunker and then just practicing making that little mound disappear.
Wow.
A friend of mine went to him and said, Mr. Ballester, you're my idol. I see you doing a little pile of sand. What are you doing? He said, okay, son, my tee time is in 20 minutes. I'm building up my confidence.
Building up his confidence.
Throwing some sand onto the green with his wedge. So we have that. We have, of course, an aimpoint certified instructor. Aimpoint is fantastic. If we look at what aimpoint accomplished, we take numbers on that, of course. There is over 45,000 amateur players who experience the aimpoint clinic. 5,000 junior. There is 200 touring pro, you see it at TV when they put their fingers in front of us. And then 3 number one players in the world using points. DC Lewis, or the former number one, Lydia, Adam Scott, and Lydia Ko. Then, sometimes when we use those, people say, yeah, but it's too far for me. It's not applying for me. We teach aim point to kids of 8, 9, 10 years old because it's a very simple and it's a field-based. So I'm the only instructor in Hawaii. I'm ready to travel to different islands. Any golf course that wants me to go, I'm about sharing that great information.
And so you have a lot of people say, oh, it's all about mathematics, but you say you can teach it to 8-year-olds.
Yes, because the new Endpoint Express Read is not, it's based, you know, it's very based on numbers and all that. But when we apply it to play, it's based 100% on feeling. Basically, there's a lot of misconception about reading green. There's different options. And then instead of evaluating the slope with your eyes, you evaluate the slope with your feet. So everybody got feet. Everybody can feel a slope. They just need to be aware of how to do it. So
is that why we walk around UCP? The pros walk all the way around the hole? Yeah?
But that's why they... And it's a fast system. What we love so much about it is when you know how to use it, it's 15 seconds and your reading is done.
Wow.
I mean, other people will still go around and around and around and still don't make a decision on this system. It helps you to quantify how much the ball breaks any green in the world. So at Kolina, the Golf Channel Academy, we got plenty of programs. I'm really working hard now to create a new one that will be more kind of a long-term, I will call that. We will have either 3 months commitment, 6 month commitment, because to improve and have fun, it has to be a sustained relation with your coach. That's what Golf Channel Academy is about. So kind of that package will be having some private lesson, some supervised practice session, because when people practice, if they don't have feedback, they don't really improve. So they can come and do supervised practice. Some will be on course. I got a mental program that will be in the package. I got another one that is, you can keep track of your statistical. So all that for people who really want to improve.
This is Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional. He's at Ko'olina Golf Channel Academy, lead instructor in Hawaii, and he's going to be on television. Claude, when are you filming your segments for Golf Channel?
Yeah, that's very exciting. In two ways, many ways, but the two main ways is I'd like to have everybody come and experience golf in Hawaii. And be on Golf Channel, that's a good media to promote the Aloha spirit, the golf in Hawaii. So I will be on a morning drive on May 3rd and 4th. And the Golf Channel Academy has what they call a feature pro of the week. So that week will be me, be featured all week. It's the week prior to the players at Sawgrass. And, of course, that's a little bit early for the people in Hawaii, but I will do 12, 15 videos. Those videos will be available on the Golf Channel app. It's a free app, and it's just fantastic.
Yes, and all you do is DVR. Go to your, television, and it's Golf Channel. It's Morning Drive. You'll find it. It's usually around 3. Sometimes it'll be at 1 o'clock and then 3 o'clock and then re-air at 5 o'clock. It depends on whether or not it's early in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They'll re-air it, and then on Thursday and Friday, they've got the European tour, and then so you don't see it until much later. Bottom line is just record it. And then you can watch it on demand whenever you want to. And then you'll see Claude Brousseau on Morning Drive. And it's always so much fun with Gary Williams and Damon Hack and all the guys. They're on the show regularly. You've met them. So, you know, they're fun. So have you done the video yet? Have you actually done the...
I did 3 video when I was in Dallas in November. But I will complete the rest of them during that week Well, I will be in Orlando in May.
Excellent.
That will be, I will be on Morning Drive. Then I will also be featured on Golf Central.
Excellent.
When you watch Golf Channel, any tournament, you see find a coach near you, or you see Golf Central, all those advices. It's short. It's about 3 minutes. And it's I'm passionate about helping people to realize their full potential, whatever their potential is.
Yeah.
It depends what you want to invest in it, how motivated you are. But for sure, you can count on Coding Academy or, of course, me and the staff there of other teacher to help you to just have fun with this game and realize your full potential.
Get Golf Ready is 5 hours for $109. That's a little more than $20 an hour. That's a really good deal. And then there's the advanced you go to. Is it intermediate Get Golf Ready? It's not, they're not just going to drop you, because when you start learning it, you want to kind of get better at it. And then there's the advanced Get Golf Ready, all at Ko'olina. This is something Claude Brousseau decided to make, taking people on the course. Now, Claude, finally, what I'd like to ask you about is the swing beep, because I could see that, you know, when you break your wrist, people don't necessarily feel well what they're doing, especially when they're in action. You know, when you're starting your swing, I don't know what I'm doing in my backswing. I can't really see what my hand, my wrist has done here and there. That's something that the swing beep can help you. Could I wear that on the golf course?
When you're not in competition, yes, you can. It's of course, when you're in competition, you're not allowed to have anything that will help you. But when you just go practice and have fun with your friends, and then you say, okay, let's say I'm going out for 3 holes at the end of the day, of course. Because the real challenge, you hit the nail on the head there, Danielle, is people don't really feel what they're doing. I call that the people who are improving faster is they match feel in real. The swing beat gave you an immediate audio feedback. Are you doing it or not? It's like having your own coach Claude with you all the time. So for some, the voice may be nagging in the head, but for other, I can tell you by experience, they say, Claude, it's so fantastic because now I know I'm doing it correctly, efficiently. And there is nothing better than when you do it efficiently that you incorporate in your body, your total body, like something I call that, do a body scan. Swing beat will allow you to do, wow, I produce what I want. How in the world did I just produce that? So you go and you ask yourself, what was my level of tension in my body? How much swing thought did I have? Probably not a lot, and so on. So this is a great teaching, and we launched it at the PGA Show. The review is just unbelievable. We had Joe Alep, who is the coach of Stacey Lewis, former number one in the world, came and said, Claude, this is fantastic. We had Mike Adams, who he's a top 100. He's been endorsed in the Hall of Fame for Golf Magazine. We had Gary Gilchrist, really well-known. And it applied to everybody. That's what I like about it. Very easy to put in your bag, and you go on the golf course with it, you go at the range with it, and you will improve faster.
Excellent. And Gary Gilchrist was, we all know his name here in Hawaii because he was Michelle Wee's first official kind of coach when she went professional. Yeah. So, yeah. Claude, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much. And thank you for putting together all of these different learning opportunities. And as Claude said, as an Aimpoint certified instructor, he's also Vision 54 certified. You want him on Maui, just put together a group of people, give him a call, and he's happy to go back to Maui, his former home.
Yes, absolutely. And happy to go to Kauai, Big Island. I want to make sure that because we are far away, we still have access to the best, and I co-host with other people at the local, you know, it could be any island, because I want to hear the young, the not so young, and the one in the middle have access to the best coaching they can have.
Can't wait to see you on Morning Drive. That's going to be fun. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back and talk about the latest golf show, you know, they talked about the PGA show where all of the equipment comes out and all of the teaching aids come out to show you all the different clothing. And that's the PGA show that happens every year in Orlando. But there's also the golf industry show. And this is where the golf course superintendents get together with golf course architects and with all the people who bring out the stuff that they need to keep the golf course beautiful. We'll be back after this. We're talking with Les Jeremiah, Director of Golf Course Maintenance at Hawakalei. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. My name is That's right, that's me. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Do you often wonder just how you could actually make your own lawn, garden look like golf courses look? You know how beautiful they're always kept? Well, that's one of the things I was talking with Les Jeremiah, a director of golf course maintenance at Hawakalei. It's just wonderful. I bet your garden, your lawn looks absolutely fabulous, Les. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Danielle. How are you doing?
Excellent. Does your yard look as beautiful as your golf course?
Well, here's the thing with that, and I think a lot of the superintendents will agree, is that we know how much it takes to maintain grass. And we have a team of people doing it for us. So when it comes to your home, usually it's a little flip-flop. We don't want to take care of grass. We want to take it easy. So I don't have much grass, but the grass I do have, it's a low-maintenance grass that I can take care of like on a 2 or 3 week basis.
There you go. That's called sustainability. We're going to talk about that, right? Exactly. Well, the golf industry show, as I mentioned before the break, it happens every year in San Diego. And all of you guys get together, the golf architects, the golf superintendents, and then you meet up with all the people who have products for you to use to do your job.
Yeah, it's just an amazing event that happens usually in February every year. It not only happens in San Diego, it happens in various states, Orlando sometimes, San Antonio was last year in Texas. So we rotated to make it fair for the other guys that live in different areas. But in these events, you can have all the top guys as educators, anything from wanting to learn how to prepare for a PGA event to brushing up on soils, different grasses, to how to talk and negotiate contracts, how to better your professional careers. There's a lot of things that people don't realize that are involved with our profession. So we have general managers, superintendents, assistant superintendents, and now we're bringing the equipment technicians, which are the head mechanics that take care of the fleet of equipment, because that's vital as well. But it's such a great venue. And then we have the trade show, which, like you were mentioning, everybody that you can think of when it comes to sprinklers, to central computers, to chemicals, to boom sprayers, to architects, to consultants, to the USGA. I mean, everyone is there in one spot. So it takes us a couple of days to get through that, but it's always a great event. It's always a great event. Very exciting.
Larry Gilhooley from the USGA, he came out, green section, up Washington side. He spoke at the Hawaii golf industry gathering. It happens every couple of years. I think he was at Ko'olau years ago. And he actually introduced the whole concept of brown is the new green to us then. In other words, you want to keep the golf course as it would be if it were not constantly watered and cared for. Right?
Sure.
Is that still a thrust of the industry to get people to accept golf course conditions as they grow?
Sure. I mean, Larry Gilhooley, actually, he's coming up to visit our course in a few weeks. He's a good friend of mine for years. I totally agree with the concept of trying to be more environmentally friendly, trying to have golf more sustainable. That's because it's so expensive to maintain a golf course. So when you try to go out, I'm sure the golf professionals can agree, a director of golf position, they can agree that it's so difficult to cover the expenses, especially of the golf course maintenance side. So I tell you, using less water. Water is one of the most precious and expensive resources that we have to pay for. Fuel, the fuel machines. So I totally agree. I'm kind of torn about it because, like tournaments like the Masters, everybody sees that and it's like, oh my God, this is the perfect venue. And it is. But they don't realize how much is involved to get it to that stage. I mean, you have hundreds of people helping out with that event. I mean, they're regressing every year. And I mean, I have a friend of mine, he's Dr. Michael Woods, where he attends that. And his job is only to pick leaves off of one green. I mean, I'm like, we'll never have one guy to watch and pick up, or even have one guy to rake under a tree. I mean, that's amazing. So really, it's not a reality. It's like a dream. The Masters is like a dream.
It's Disneyland beautiful. For golfers.
And we all aspire to be like that, but it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's not economically feasible because it's very expensive to maintain a golf course.
Yeah, just payroll alone must be hard.
Payroll alone, you're looking at $1 million expense with benefits and medical expenses, especially, payroll insurance, workman's compensation, and just trying to keep up with the cost of living in Hawaii or anywhere around the world. Yeah.
Right. So when you factor in the cost of taking care of the grounds, I mean, it's huge. And how are you going to have one guy standing at one tree making sure the leaves are? Yeah, I've always thought when I went to Augusta National and I walked Augusta National and I looked and it reminded me, it's like this is Disneyland for golfers.
This is an amazing
production, an amazing production. And I would love to be there. When I walked the 18 holes, there was nobody there. It was Wednesday. There were a few guys practicing. The par 3 contest was going on. That was fun, but I just decided I want to walk this course. And it's pristine. When you leave the course, the surrounding area of Augusta is nothing like what you find inside the gates at Augusta National. It's obviously a created environment where you can, the joke was downstairs underneath Augusta National, there's this, place where they grow trees and then they just bring them up when they need them. And it's not that far-fetched, is it? So what do we do in Hawaii, though? Hawaii, people come here, they expect to find a green golf course. This is where it rains all the time and everything is green. It's Hawaii, right?
Yeah. So unfortunately, we have that theme of green Hawaii, and then we have these multiple tournaments that happen in Hawaii where everything is green, the Sony Open, the Hyundai tournament in Maui, and the Mitsubishi at Hualalai. So all those courses are in great condition, super green. And then again, everything stems back to the Masters. So everybody aspires to be like that. So it becomes tough for us sometimes as managers because green has always been accepted. But when they took that stance at Chambers Bay, which we can totally appreciate because golf originated back in, you know, in Scotland. And when that happened, everything, there was no green. It was basically playing in pastures, you know. So golf has evolved so much, but the Masters has kind of left an impression in all the ownership's minds that it has to be this way. But unfortunately, a lot of the ownership members, they don't realize that that's really unattainable. It's very expensive to be like that. So.
Yeah. So we should be glad that we have the beautiful courses that we have here. We're we're really, really, really lucky that we have the golf courses to play. The superintendent of the year at the Ho'olaulea, the Aloha section, got everybody together, and everyone from First Tee to the Omega Player of the Year. The Player of the Year was Garrett Okamura. The Senior Player of the Year, Kevin Hayashi. Everyone got their awards. And the Hawaii Golf Course Superintendents Association, the Superintendent of the Year. How is that determined? Clint Tolbert, congratulations. Great job.
Yeah, Clint Tolbert is actually just our past president of the board. So basically how that works is we look at every superintendent's profile within the membership. We have a membership, again, of the Hawaii Golf Course Superintendents Association. So what we'll do is we'll send people will nominate who they think, or they'll submit candidates. And they have to give reasons as to why they think this particular superintendent qualifies for that award. So we'll send it out to the membership. And then based on the votes of that, that comes back to the board of directors. And then basically it's a popularity vote. So congratulations to Clint.
Yes, absolutely. But I was wondering if there's, you know, if something, somebody comes up with a new way of doing something that, you know, that would be taken into consideration when you nominate somebody. Like, I don't know your business well enough to know how I can more efficiently do something, but I thought that would be a part of the process.
Sure.
And I was thrilled to see Clarence Nakatsukasa, the Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. Is he still working?
Clarence is, you know, he is like, has been the foundation of the board for a long time. And he's our executive director. He's been over 20 years now. He's been with us. So he actually tried to retire coming into 2016. But, you know, he's a real soldier, and he, you know, he's constantly still trying to help us out. And you know how that is. You know, he's past retirement age, and he's enjoying his life, playing golf a lot, going to the gym all the time. But, you know, he loves it. You know, it's a big part of his heart. He's still involved with our organization. And so even though he's kind of retired, you know, we don't mind him staying on. He does a great job. And it's going to be hard to replace Clarence. And actually, we are finding it hard to.
You're having a hard time finding somebody to. Yeah, I bet. Well, why would he want to retire? He's got such a fabulous job, or he's always worked in exactly, it's his passion. And I was wondering, you know, for kids, you were talking about the chief mechanic of a golf course. Who thinks of a mechanic being needed at a golf course? Then you have assistants who work for you, and you are the superintendent at Ho'akalei.
Mm-hmm.
So, Les Jeremiah, is this an opportunity for kids to think about going into if they enjoy the outdoors, they enjoy working with the ground?
I'm glad you asked me that question. And we talked about this before, is that, you know, I like to touch on going back when I was in high school. I mean, I started in golf when I was 8 years old, and then I started working in golf when I was 14, 15 years old. And I had never known what the golf course superintendent or on the maintenance side was involved on that. But it's such an amazing job, as you get to work outside, you get to supply a great product for the customers. Because if your product is not reasonable, nobody's going to want to come and play your course versus another course. So it's always a competition, but you need to try and supply the best product that you can with the budget that you have. But looking at the positions, I mean, you know, I would have never thought, Daniel, that I'd be making six figures growing grass, you know, back in high school. Okay, to be honest. I mean, to be honest.
Sure. I understand.
And then I just had a, you know, I'm proud of him. I just had one of our irrigation specialists, Shane Miko. He just stepped up to take an assistant superintendent position over at Turtle Bay for, you know, for a pretty good amount of money. You know, so, I mean, you're talking over $40,000 to $50,000 a year. Now, I mean, school teachers don't even get offered that, you know, and that's coming off of a very high education. So, I mean, assistant superintendent jobs are great. There's a lot to know. But even going into different positions that help on the golf course, administrative assistants make up to $15 an hour. Head mechanics make, I was talking to a buddy of mine that runs a high-end course in Maui. And equipment manager is making almost between $90,000 and $100,000. So there's, you know, when you look at all this schooling that happens for people that work on Porsches or they work on Volkswagens or whatever, Hondas, whatever it may be, nobody's going to be making that kind of money. So it's a profession in Hawaii that's not hit on enough. So I'm kind of a big advocate of that. For the board, especially, to try and bring more awareness to that, because I knew nothing about it until I worked when Ko'ola was called Minami at the time in Kaneohe. I had the chance to work for a certified superintendent, Sean Houlihan, and then from that point on, I was like, oh my god, this is a great job. I want to be a golf superintendent, but it wasn't until that point. I mean, I had FFAA wanting to recruit me. The Future Farmers of America, and I was like, well, it's a great profession, but I don't want to be involved in that. You know, I thought about being a golf pro, and I was like, I don't have the game for that. But I loved, once I worked on the maintenance side, I saw all the opportunities from operator to irrigation technician. I'm looking for an irrigation technician right now. He needs to be able, like the irrigation system is controlled off a Microsoft-based central computer, which you have to pay like $2,000 or $3,000 to get educated on how to run that. But we're paying up to $22 an hour or more just to find a qualified guy to do that, as well as, you know, fix plumbing and electrical and do all of those kind of things. So, I mean, how many $22 an hour jobs do you have here in Oahu?
Not very many.
That are steady and not construction-based. So, you know, there's stuff like that. So
that's excellent. And this is Les Jeremiah, Director of Golf Course Maintenance at Hawakalei Country Club. It's a beautiful golf course, and you guys work tirelessly. I mean, you guys really are passionate about what you do. And I like what you said, that you held out. You were recruited by the Farmers Association. You knew you weren't quite good enough to teach, although I hear that when you're teaching, you don't get to play anyway anymore. You just have to know how to tell people how to play. But when you find your passion, it's wonderful. And for kids in Hawaii who want to stay in Hawaii, who love the aina, the land, this is a great opportunity. And it's great to hear that there's a job. Hey, call Les if you're qualified. And one final question. What do you tell people who are, you know, what can I do to make my grass grow at home? I'm sure it's got to be asked of you all the time.
Oh, there's a few variables in that one. But number one, you want to make sure you have a reasonable soil. I mean, without getting too scientific, yes, the regular Joe's trying to take care of and keep your yard in good shape or have a reasonable lawn. Number one, make sure you have a decent soil that's not compact. And it has a little fluff to it. What I mean by that is where water and oxygen can move through down to the soil. Number two, choose the right grass. So there's a lot of people growing grass, whether it's Home Depot or go to the high growers. They can make suggestions to your site. Every grass is different. So you want to ask the right questions, whether you have shade on the side of your house or you don't. You live on the Eva side versus the windward side. You need to say those things so the grass growers can best fit the criteria for your yard as far as the grass selection. You want to make sure you irrigate. And people have this misconception of irrigating every day. When you first put it in, you may have to do that to get it to catch. But in theory, you want to water heavily and infrequently. So I would say like every 2 to 3 days, heavily, get it down at maybe at least an inch down into the soil profile. So what happens is the roots chase down to get foundation. And then you have a stronger plant and actually it uses less water over time. So you want to do that. And then when it comes to fertility, you just want to use a nice balanced fertilizer. Something like maybe like a 21-7-14 analysis. And to make that simple, a superintendent a long time ago, Todd Morata, who first brought me into the Gulf Coast Superintendents of America, this is how you remember it. The first, everybody might get confused about those numbers, but when you see like a triple six, 16-16-16 or 21-7-14, think about it like this. Leaves, stems, and roots. That's how you basically look at that number. So you want to have a decent mix to give your turf grass strength. And then lastly, you want to make sure that your mowers are sharp. So you got to think of that in two ways. Number one, try to cut a piece of paper with a dull scissors. So you're going to tear the tissue of the turf, and that's not good for the turf because you're going to use more water and your grass will set back or get sick. And then number two, I think I just covered the two. Sorry about that, Dan.
No, that's all right. Totally cool. I know everybody's listening, just going, okay, next. Les Jeremiah, Director of Golf Course Maintenance at Haukele. Thank you so much for being on the show with me.
No problem, Danielle. No problem.
Awesome. Next, Clay Hood is the co-founder of Precision Pro, and he has some really cool GPS rangefinders and GPS golf bands that you can wear. And they're affordable. We'll be back with Clay right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone. Only the best.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Clay Hood, PGA, co-founder Precision Pro, the Nexus Laser Rangefinder, and the GPS Golf Band. It's thin, it's light, it's comfortable. I'm looking at the rangefinder, the laser rangefinder, the Nexus, and I'm thinking, this looks really comfortable for my hand. Welcome, Clay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. It looks like a really ergonomic, comfortable rangefinder.
It is, yes. We put a lot of work into the feel of it. It's lightweight. It fits great in your hand. It's got a nice kind of design grip around it where it, you know, it's just very, you know, it's not too big. It's not too small. And it's, you know, it's light and it's very easy to use, very easy to hold on to.
It looks like it. And it's got a 400-yard range, so I don't need to worry about losing my ball.
You can shoot basically as far as you need. If you need more than 400 yards, then... you know, I don't know what you're doing, but you can get pretty much all you need out of the 40-yard range.
Yeah, absolutely. It's accurate. It's advanced target lock function. What can you explain that a little bit? I don't understand that one.
Okay, sure. Basically what that does, it helps you pick up the flag. So when you're in the fairway, you're trying to shoot the flag. The flag's obviously a small target. And it's oftentimes it's easy with a lot of range finders. You know, people have used them, know this. It's sometimes it's easy to hit what's behind the flag and not actually hit the flag because the flag's very small. So over the past year, we've put a lot of work in on our target lock function, which helps you focus in on the flag. Basically filters out what's behind the green and helps you hit the flag much more easy. So when you're in the fairway, you've got a much better chance of hitting the flag, you know, shooting your distance at 151 as opposed to, you know, 190 to the, you know, the trees behind the green. So yeah, we put a lot of work on that to really help the accuracy and help you, you know, just be easier to use.
Will it tell you that you've locked onto the flag?
It doesn't tell you that you've locked onto the flag. That's kind of the one of the, a little bit of a, you know, misconception with rangefinders. They don't necessarily know what the flag is, but the technology basically takes the thing that the laser hits first, which, you know, if you're shooting from the fairway, the flag should be the thing that hits first,
right,
and then tells you the distance to that.
Excellent. And the 6x magnification.
Yes. So that's like a binocular function. So when you look through the product, you're going to see kind of that magnified view like you would with binoculars. So you're going to get a much, it's actually pretty easy if you're in the fairway and you hit a shot, you can see the ball in the green, whereas if you're in the fairway from 170 yards out, you may not be able to see that. But it also helps you, you know, see the flag and focus in on the flag better because of the binocular type function.
Excellent. So that's the Nexus laser rangefinder. The GPS golf band. Tell us about this. The GPS golf band looks like it's very comfortable.
It is. So we've basically taken all the features and functionality of a large GPS watch, and we have slimmed it down into our GPS band, which is, you know, if anyone who wears a fitness tracker, it's roughly the size of what you would see with like a fitness tracker, like a Fitbit or something of that sort. It's very light. It's very comfortable. It only weighs 1 ounce, so you barely feel it on your wrist. So we were able to take that big bulky watch and pare it down into something very light, very comfortable. It's easy to wear, and it, you know, it doesn't interfere with your swing. It doesn't cause, you just really don't feel it on your wrist, which is it's a great thing to have.
Yeah, and you can find it at precisionprogolf.com. Precisionprogolf.com. So you can see what we're talking about if you can get log on to precisionprogolf.com. Okay, so we've got the Nexus laser rangefinder and the GPS golf band. I want to ask you, Clay Hood, PGA, co-founder of your company, Precision Pro, how did you, you're a golf professional, you're a PGA. How did you get from working as a PGA, which I imagine you did, to creating your own company, bringing out laser rangefinders?
That's a great question. It's, you know, it's quite the deal. Mine wasn't quite as clear as just one day having an idea for products. I spent about 10 years as a club pro and a teaching pro. And then I made a move across the country to California. And I didn't get back into the golf business right away. And, you know, just had some ideas for some products and kind of started working on those. And just through the kind of the work we did and, you know, met someone who would become my business partner. And, yeah, we started our company. And, you know, things, obviously, when you start a company, they oftentimes start slow and kind of build up. And, yeah, just through, we were able to use the knowledge of golf. But, you know, mine was a little bit more, you know, not getting back into golf after a move. And then, you know, having these ideas for products and really starting up and getting things going.
The GPS golf band has 34,000 worldwide preloaded courses. I imagine you have a lot of Hawaii golf courses loaded.
We do, absolutely. We've got pretty much what you're going to see with our kind of our loaded set for golf courses. Anything in the U.S., you know, Europe, Australia, we're going to already have, you know, Central America, we're already going to have those courses loaded on there, which means for, you know, it's great for the consumer because all you have to do is just you take the product out of the box and you show up to the first tee and your course is there. It'll find it for you. If there ever is a course, let's say they build a new course in Hawaii or they renovate one, we can easily add that. We just have to, you know, customers let us know and we get that added to the mix. And yeah, very easy to, you know, just show up at the first tee and the course is there.
There's no downloads. There's no subscription fees.
They're not. You don't. You buy the product one time, and everything comes included. It works. It works great. And when we say no downloads, that kind of goes along to the preloaded. To the preloaded courses side. You don't have to. When you get the product, you don't have to go set it up to make it work. It's ready to go and, ready for you to use out of the box.
Right. And if there is an update, will it automatically go to the golf band, the GPS golf band from Precision Pro?
If there is an update, that's where you do need to connect that to your computer through our, we have our charging cord where you connect that. If there is an update to your golf course, if they change the bunkers or they added new tee boxes or renovated it.
Yeah.
Right. Then we could, we would just remap that golf course, and we could get that updated to your band through the computer.
And it's got distance to four hazards per hole, auto course recognition. It automatically knows the course, auto hole advancement, and a one-year warranty. And I was on your Twitter feed, and I saw that someone, I'm not sure if it was a school or maybe it was a golf course superintendent organization, you have special relationships with people where you give them discounts if they join or belong to an organization.
We do. We do some work with high school organizations, with high school teams, where we help them out. We have several of those that we sponsor and work with throughout the country. Just to be able to help out. I was a high school player. I played college golf, and some of the programs, they don't always have the resources that they need to always have the kind of top of the line equipment. So we're able to, we work with them and, provide them some programs where they can get a better rate on some of our stuff.
Excellent. And the Nexus Laser Rangefinder, what would you recommend to the recreational player? Gets out maybe every couple of weeks, maybe every week. What do you think is the better one for someone on that level?
It kind of depends what the player is looking for. I would say that someone, if you're a better golfer, if you're shooting in the, in the low 80s, below that, and you're, really serious about your game, and you have a decent idea how far you hit your, clubs, if you know that you hit your 8-iron 155, a rangefinder is probably going to be a little bit better product because it's going to shoot exact distance to the flag. You'll know whether you're 151, 155, 158. And then on the other end with the GPS product, for someone who maybe is, not that worried about being very precise with their distances, they just want to have a range. They want to know that, hey, I'm 150, I'm one, to the middle of the green, I don't need to know exactly where the flag is. Then the GPS band is probably going to be for them. It's very user-friendly. You don't have to do anything with it on the course. You just wear it. Whereas the laser range finder, you're using that a little bit more often on every shot. So I would go with someone who, someone who really wants to know their distance spot on, laser rangefinder, someone who just needs a guide on the course, and that's more of a GPS kind of user.
Excellent. That was perfect. Clay Hood, PGA, really cool. And it's affordable, and it's available in a lot of stores in Hawaii. You just have to go to Precision Pro Golf. Find a location, you'll find a location. Lots of locations here in Hawaii. Really great to meet you, and congratulations on, making a leap from what you were doing to what you decided to go for. Because heads up, hats off, really nice work. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Clay. I want to thank all the people who make the show possible. I want to thank Mark Rolfing for being on the show this morning and talking with us about everything from the Olympic golf to what's happening at the Alawai Golf Course. Thank you to Claude Brousseau for being a guest on the show. He's at Ko'olina. Get golf ready. He'll be on Golf Channel Morning Drive in May. And of course, the Golf Academy lead instructor. And thank you to our sponsors, Futuristone. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. Futuristone, only the best. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. They've got a fabulous blowout, Vokey Wedges, $109. Go over to the pro shop, Local Connection, and Southside Men's Club. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. And Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse. Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right, right? It's Creative Plumbing. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.